You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Happy Thursday, everybody. Happy Timberwolves game day. The Minnesota Timberwolves take on the Portland Trailblazers this evening. So we'll talk a lot about that on today's show. The first time the Wolves have seen the Blazers so far this year. So we'll talk about Portland's season to date, how the teams match up, what Portland does with their offense, especially that's going to be really difficult for Minnesota to slow down. And that will be the bulk of today's show. I want to start with a couple notes here off the top as well. We'll look at injuries, et cetera, for this evening's game, but mostly just kind of a dive into Portland and what to look out for regarding tonight. I do want to mention there's a Bleacher Report article about trades for each team, and there's a couple of ideas in there that have actually been discussed actually at my site, at Dunking with Wolves. We had a writer discuss a couple of the ideas that are included in this article, so we'll go through those as well and get you ready for tonight's game and the weekend, and that will be the show for today. As always, a quick reminder here off the top that you can listen to Locked On Wolves and subscribe to Locked On Wolves anywhere that you get your podcasts. Of course, that includes iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, really anywhere. You can also follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Of course, we'll be live tweeting this evening during the game as well. It's a 9 p.m. Central tip, so a little bit of a later game on the West Coast before the Wolves head home for, I believe, a four-game homestand coming up here. A lot to look forward to, some winnable games, and hopefully Karl-Anthony Towns makes a return here in the not-too-distant future, which actually, let's start there. Let's start with injury news. So on the show the other day, talked about how Josh Okogie was questionable, and it sounded like there was a chance, like they thought he might play on Tuesday in the loss at Denver, and then, you know, it looked promising. In fact, I think Ryan Saunders even said he hoped Okogie could play on Thursday. The Wolves actually announced as early as Wednesday night, which probably isn't a great sign, that both Okogie and Towns were out on Thursday. So still no Josh Okogie, still no Karl-Anthony Towns. Of course, Jalen Noel was active and on the bench and available and dressed for Tuesday's game. And the Wolves actually left Jordan McLaughlin inactive as one of the two-way player deals. So obviously that didn't count against his two-way game allotment, which is being done differently this year. Basically, it's being done by games instead of days. But that'll be a somewhat interesting thing to monitor, is how often McLaughlin is active versus Noel. Will Noel get any minutes? Will he crack the rotation at any point in the near future? But the Wolves will not have Okogie, will not have Towns on Thursday night. And that's obviously not ideal. The Portland Trailblazers are without Zach Collins due to injury, and also listed as questionable is Rodney Hood with a quad injury. Rodney Hood has played so far in this year 5 of the 7 games. Of course, he had the significant injury last year where he missed the majority of the season. So good to see him back and healthy and playing, although, again, he's a little bit banged up right now. Let's go ahead and get into Portland's season so far, and then I want to talk about the matchup specifically between the Wolves and the Blazers and how Minnesota might go about trying to slow down Portland. So far this year, Portland is only 3-4. I think coming into this year, I don't remember exactly where I had them. I might have had them 5th or 6th in the West. They slipped out of the playoff picture last year, but they underachieved. They had these injury issues, you know, Rodney Hood being an obvious one. Nurkic missed a great deal of time last year with a broken leg, and just wasn't himself when he was on the court. So it's fair to assume that with one of the better coaches in the league and Terry Stotts, they were going to improve a little bit this year. And, you know, I figured that they would be a pretty clear playoff team. They still probably will. They're only 3-4 at this point. They lost the Jazz in their first game of the year, were actually blown out. Then they beat the Rockets in overtime, beat the Lakers, got blown out by the Clippers, blew out the Warriors, then lost to the Warriors, and then lost to the Bulls in disappointing fashion just this last Tuesday. So, I mean, they haven't played a super easy schedule. They split the two games with the Warriors, and then outside of that, you know, I guess the loss to the Bulls isn't great, but they went 2-2 against pretty much surefire playoff teams in Utah, Houston, and both LA teams. So not a super easy schedule. It lightens up a little for them with the Kings twice upcoming, and then Toronto, who's 1-6 right now as well. So expect Portland to improve their record pretty quickly. But right now they're only a game ahead of the Wolves in the standings. Minnesota's 2-5 and Portland is 3-4. Looking at this matchup last year, it surprised me when I went back and did some research on this. The Wolves actually played Portland pretty tough last season. And on its face, you'd assume that Portland is a team the Wolves would struggle with two dynamic ball handlers who can both shoot from deep and get into the paint. The Wolves haven't had strong paint defense. They haven't had good perimeter defense. They just haven't been good defensively. And CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard are both so versatile in the way that they score that it was surprising to me that Minnesota actually beat them fairly easily last January. This was obviously before the roster was largely overhauled, and it was in between Karl-Anthony Towns. Well, it was towards the end of his first injury when he had the knee issue before he came back and then went out with the wrist issue. But they actually had lost to them early in the season by 7 points. Actually, it was December 21st. So right towards the tail end of that first long losing streak that the Timberwolves had. And then the Wolves beat Portland by 14 on January 9th of last year. In that game, they were led by Andrew Wiggins, had 23 points, 8 assists, shot 9 of 15. One of Wiggins' better games last season. Robert Covington, of course, is now on the Portland Trailblazers, had 15 points in the starting lineup. Gorgui Dieng had 12 and 10. Jarrett Culver had 12 and 6 in the starting lineup. And then off the bench, the Wolves got 12 and 6 from Jeff Teague and 11 points, 8 rebounds from Kata Bates-Diop. You look at this lineup, I mean, the starting lineup had Culver. The other four guys are gone. Look at the bench players who saw time. The only two guys on the bench that saw time that are still on the team are Josh Okogie, who had 25 minutes in this game, and Naz Reid, who played 16 minutes because Towns was injured. Everybody else on the bench, Jeff Teague, Kata Bates-Diop, Travion Graham, Noah Vonleh, Jordan Bell, those guys are all gone. But this was a game that the Wolves won. At the time, they were 15 and 22. They were just pulling out of that first long losing streak and about to head on a second long losing streak. So, but surprised me to go back and look at this, and I had forgotten about this game. Lillard had 20 points, but he shot just 6 of 18, 3 of 10 on threes. CJ McCollum had only 15 points, no assists against the Wolves in 24 minutes, had some foul trouble, and it just wasn't a good game for the Blazers. Now, of course, the Blazers weren't a playoff team last year either, so they had their own issues. They've improved their rotation this year, supposedly, and obviously having a healthy Nurkic is going to make a big difference too. So I want to get into what the Blazers do offensively and the problems that the Wolves, that I would anticipate the Wolves having, especially with no Towns, especially with no Okogie, who are maybe the two most important defenders in a matchup like this for the Wolves to have on the court. Unfortunately, neither one of them is going to be available. So I want to talk about Portland's offense, what the Wolves are going to be faced with this evening. First, though, a quick reminder about betonline.ag. Are you ready for playoff NFL football? Are you ready for the middle of the conference season in college basketball? And of course, NBA basketball is finally really taking off. We're almost 10 games into the season. There's only one place that has you covered and one place that we here at Locked On trust when it comes to online betting, and that is betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use the promo code Locked On for your 50% welcome bonus. Again, NFL playoffs this week, Super Wild Card Saturday, Super Wild Card Sunday. 6 games in 2 days, tons of college basketball, and of course, NBA. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Also, let's talk about our great friends at CBDMD. January is important in setting the tone for the new year, and in 2021, that has never been more true. Luckily, our good friends at CBDMD are here to give you the support you need to conquer your New Year's resolutions and make this year your best one yet. And if those resolutions happen to involve fitness, they've got a brand new topical product that'll help you keep moving all year long. CBD Relief with lidocaine fuses CBDMD's hybrid broad spectrum formula with fast-acting lidocaine to help provide temporary relief for minor aches and pains. And with the new bag-on-valve spray technology, Relief can be applied comfortably at any angle, even upside down, just in case. And to make it even easier to get the year started off right, they're offering all of our listeners here at Locked On Wolves 20% off your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. Easy to remember, NBA. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code NBA for 20% off your purchase of superior CBD products from CBDMD. 2020 is mercifully over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and you want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets, a brand new podcast with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's talk about the Portland Trail Blazers, their offense, what they like to do, what they've seen success doing this year. I went back and watched a good portion of their game against the Chicago Bulls that they lost, a one possession loss to the Bulls earlier this week. And CJ McCollum attempted 21 shots. Damian Lillard attempted 17 shots. And overwhelmingly, their shot attempts came as ball handlers in the pick and roll and in handoff situations. Not surprisingly, of course, but maybe even a higher percentage than I expected. I mean, going back and looking at the season so far, the different play types that they like to play in, you know, they both see their fair share of isolation. I mean, basically, the Trailblazers offense is not super fast. They're playing a little bit faster this year than they have in recent years. They're attempting a few more threes than usual. But it's pretty much just put the ball in Dame's hands, put the ball in CJ's hands, let him go to work. You look at the frequency with which they play in isolation sets. They do it a little bit, but not a ton. I mean, CJ McCollum, 15% of his possessions are in isolation sets. That's roughly four times a game. Lillard's a little bit less than that, three times a game. But they're mostly handling the ball in the pick and roll and also in handoff situations, which is effectively a pseudo pick and roll. In fact, if you go back and look at every shot that they attempted between the two of them, 38 shots in their loss to the Bulls on Tuesday, a little over 68%, 68.4% of their shot attempts came out of the pick and roll as the ball handler. So that's 26 of 38 between the two of them. In fact, 16 of CJ McCollum's 21 shot attempts came in pick and roll or dribble handoff action. And I believe only two of them did not have Yusuf Nurkic as the screener. Almost exclusively, McCollum was working in the pick and roll with Nurkic, and most of Lillard's, his 10 shot attempts coming out of the pick and roll as the ball handler, most of them came with Nurkic as the screener as well. And there were a couple of, you know, times where they rejected the screen. There were a couple of back cuts that obviously didn't fall under this. So actually, of those 12 shots between the two of them that weren't in the pick and roll, I think three of them came on back cuts where they were using a screen to get open and just, you know, score in the paint on a nice cut. But there were a few transition buckets and a couple isolation, but it was by and large using Yusuf Nurkic as a screener. And he's a fantastic screener. It's obviously something that's really important to Portland in the way that they play offense. And the Wolves are going to have to try and guard this dynamic pick and roll, one of the league's best pick and roll games, with D'Angelo Russell and a struggling Ricky Rubio and Naz Reid as the primary big, or Ed Davis, which Ed Davis knows what the Blazers do. He obviously played for David Vanterpool as the defensive coordinator in Portland a couple of years ago and for head coach Terry Stotts in Portland a couple of years ago. But Ed Davis is a lot slower than he was a couple of years ago and certainly has looked that way this year. He played his best game of the year on Tuesday, actually played quite well, but generally speaking is not a super mobile big at this point. And even if he knows where to be, I'm not sure he can be there in time. Naz Reid isn't always going to know where to be. That's been his biggest issue, and he doesn't move great laterally. He's long enough to, in theory, and athletic enough, smooth enough, especially in offense, to, in theory, be enough of an issue defensively for opposing teams, but he doesn't move quick enough laterally to truly, you know, get to the right spots if he indeed recognizes where he needs to be. So I have concerns with McCollum and Lillard just running pick and rolls 80% of the time and just dominating the Timberwolves in this game, because Lillard and McCollum mostly are getting to the rim or shooting threes, but they're also comfortable shooting in the mid-range if they have to, and that's a shot the Wolves have given up plenty. And Nurkic isn't super dynamic offensively. I mean, his last game, he had 12 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, but he shot just 6 of 15 from the field. He's not ultra-athletic. He's big, but he's not, you know, he's not going to get a ton of post touches. He's not really going to stretch the floor. He can shoot the three, but he makes it at what, I guess 22% this year, 20% last year, 11% for his career. He's more of just a wide body, very good rebounder, very good screener, and isn't quite yet up to speed after his injury last year, the broken leg, and he ended up only playing in 8 games last season. So I don't know that I'm as worried about him as an offensive threat, and that's what part of the reason why the Blazers haven't been as effective offensively this year, because they just haven't had the pieces outside of McCollum and Lillard they haven't had dynamic pieces really contribute. Now, they've been okay. They're 12th in offensive rating. They're 10th in points scored per game. So obviously McCollum and Lillard have been good enough to make this team competitive. But the Blazers offense is what concerns me the most in this game. Minnesota is now, after playing okay defensively at times over the first few games of the season, Minnesota is now 30th in defensive rating in the league. And I don't have a ton of hope for, you know, Naz Reid and Ed Davis combined with D'Angelo Russell, who struggles the most in the pick and roll. And then Ricky Rubio, who struggled quite a bit recently and has looked a half step slow. I don't know how the Wolves are going to slow down McCollum and Lillard. Now, the other, I alluded to the rest of, you know, the supporting cast not playing great for the Blazers. I mean, Carmelo Anthony, he was good last year with the Blazers, hasn't been quite up to snuff this year. Robert Covington's actually really struggled so far this year with Portland, but gives them a dynamic where, you know, theoretically he should be hitting these long threes to help space the floor for Dame and for CJ. He's only shooting 32% on threes so far this year. Derek Jones has been solid for them, and he is a player the Wolves obviously chased in free agency, but he hasn't done anything really offensively. He's a solid defender. I mean, the Blazers have Gary Trent Jr. and Enes Kanter are also involved, both averaging double-digit scoring per game. Kanter's a big part of what they do coming off the bench, averaging almost a double-double in just 20 minutes a game. But especially if Rodney Hood's not available, the depth isn't quite there with this Portland team, you know, with no Hood, with Nurkic still working his way back, with Jones struggling, and no Zach Collins. I think that outside of McCollum and Lillard, the Wolves roster is actually comparable to the Portland Trailblazers. And I truly think that. The problem is that the Blazers have the two best players on the court right now, and it's not close. With no Towns, it's really hard for me to see how the Wolves hang in this one. One more note is the Blazers are a bottom five defensive team. You look at the Wolves' schedule so far this year, and they've played a lot of really bad defensive teams. Portland is another one. And if the Wolves can't find a way to score themselves. Now, to be clear, the Wolves' offense was actually pretty good on Tuesday against Denver, and it was decent on Sunday for most of the game against Denver. So I really feel like the Wolves' offense, sans Karl-Anthony Towns, is starting to round into shape a little bit, which is certainly encouraging. But you look at some of the defenses they've played early this season that they just haven't been able to exploit. I mean, you're talking about a Utah Jazz defense that at the time was bottom 10. They're still only ranked 18th. You're talking about a Washington Wizards defense that was the worst defense in the league for a long time and is currently 27th in defensive rating. Again, the Wolves are 30th. And the Denver Nuggets have struggled on that end of the floor too. In fact, they're still ranked 29th in the league defensively, one spot ahead of the Wolves. And remember, the season opened with Karl-Anthony Towns on the floor for the Wolves against the Detroit Pistons, who are 28th in defensive rating. So the Wolves are last. They've played the second worst defense twice in Denver and the third worst defense in Detroit. And remember how ugly that game was. Granted, it was opening night, but the Wolves only managed to score 111 points against the league's worst defense with Towns on the court. So the Wolves offense, I've talked a lot about it. I've talked about D'Angelo Russell needing to step up. He did that last game. He had a 30-10 game for Minnesota. Malik Beasley played great. It was really just the consistency of the front court was, again, a little bit of an issue. Juancho had a great game, but beyond that, it was a little bit quiet. And then, of course, down the stretch defensively, tons of breakdowns. That's what can't happen against Portland. I'm encouraged that the Wolves could hang in this game for three quarters again, but then down the stretch, McCollum and Lillard could take over. If that's the case, so be it. Again, the Wolves just need to be competitive with no Karl-Anthony Towns. They need to hang in the game. They need to show that they can compete and that they can play hard and understand their concepts on both ends of the floor instead of getting blown out with no Karl-Anthony Towns. The injury report I mentioned on yesterday's show is that Towns is apparently on the court with a ball, you know, not against any competition, but according to Ryan Saunders, he's at least handling a ball now. So there could be some hope that in the next week to 2 weeks, he is back on the court for the Wolves. And that obviously would change things in a big way. All right. Next up, what I want to do, I want to close by talking about this trade possibility, how likely the Wolves could be to look at a trade this early in the season before taking a peek ahead at what's upcoming for the Wolves. Before we do that, though, we have to talk about our great friends at rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts that you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person at the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com both at home and in your pocket. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. Rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they are reliably low. They always offer the lowest prices possible and don't change prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody, doesn't require membership or account login. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Go to RockAuto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. When you need fantasy basketball advice, it's important that you have a reliable source. More people trust Josh Lloyd, the fantastic host of the fantastic Locked On Fantasy Basketball, than any other fantasy basketball podcast, bar none. Subscribe to the number one fantasy basketball podcast today, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, wherever you get your podcasts. By the way, I mentioned this the other day. I am in a Locked On Fantasy Basketball League with Josh Lloyd and I guess eight other Locked On hosts. And so far, so good. I think tied for third right now. Josh is, I'm not trying to brag too much. I think he's a game behind right now, game behind me. So I think we're all just kind of thinking, all the hosts are just kind of thinking, as long as we beat Josh, we'll feel really good about ourselves. So that's kind of where I'm at. So far, so good, 2.5 weeks in. So keep everybody posted on that. I know there's nothing that people love more than hearing about other people's fantasy sports exploits. So anyways, related to the trade market, the chatter, this isn't an actual rumor. This is another one of those trade idea pieces by Zach Buckley at Bleacher Report. This is actually, instead of actual trade ideas, he basically just took all 30 teams and then said, hey, this is what they need. This is what they should try and do. So like, for instance, for the Lakers, his idea is to swap Montrezl Harrell for a stretch big. I don't know. I mean, I get that the Lakers need to spread the floor a little bit, but you know, that seems kind of out there. You know, you look at, let's see, what's another one? The Knicks have trade Alec Burks for rebuilding assets. I mean, yeah, that one's kind of obvious. It's kind of the opposite of the Lakers one, which you could definitely argue with. For the Timberwolves, he says, find a new front court partner for Karl Anthony Towns. That in and of itself is no shock. We've been talking about this for months on months, is that the Wolves need a consistent power forward, somebody who can play the four, ideally not the small, you know, the Robert Covington thing worked well for a while last year until it didn't. The Jake Lehman Juancho thing worked well for three quarters in Denver the other night, but so far hasn't worked much this season. So he doesn't suggest a specific trade, but he does mention, Buckley does mention at Bleacher Report, he says the Wolves could try and pry Marvin Bagley away from the Kings. We all know that, you probably have seen that Marvin Bagley's father tweeted during the game the other night when Bagley remained on the bench, I think during the fourth quarter, while the Kings were making a comeback, was that Bagley needs to get traded or he needs to get more minutes. There is something to be said for his fit next to Karl Anthony Towns. I don't know what the Kings are looking for and what the Wolves would be willing to give them for Marvin Bagley, and for what Marvin Bagley is going to want to get paid. That's maybe not the most, for instance, I get that the Atlanta Hawks are likely long-term to be better this year over the course of the season. I shouldn't say long-term. This season, I think the Hawks will be better than the Kings. John Collins is going to command more money than Marvin Bagley. Also, Collins is a couple years. I mean, he needs his extension now. Marvin Bagley is what? This is year three for him. So he's got another couple years before he needs an extension. Not after this year, but after next year. So you buy yourself a little more time by trading for Bagley, but he's not certainly not nearly as established as John Collins. I think the offense or the defensive upside, I know Collins hasn't been good defensively, but I think he could be okay defensively. I don't know that Bagley has that same upside. He's been a disaster on that end of the floor through his career. Obviously had some injury issues last year, but was very good as a rookie. For his career, he's averaging 14.5 points, almost 8 rebounds a game, only 30% from three, and he's been a terrible defender. So while there's certainly some upside, there's some dynamic play that Bagley could provide, and it'd be a lot of fun to watch him with Karl Anthony Towns. I'm A, not convinced that he's best suited to play the four, and B, I'm pretty convinced he's not the best fit next to Towns as of right now. He either needs to be a better shooter or a better defender, and right now he's neither. And so I don't love that fit. John Collins, on the other hand, is a very good shooter and I think has that defensive upside, but he's going to cost a lot more probably in trade assets and certainly in terms of actual salary. So as this conversation continues and the Wolves continue to evaluate the power forward spot, the question remains, are the Wolves more likely to make a trade now when they're 2-5 and likely going to be, I don't know, what, 3-9, 3-10, 4-11, something like that before Towns returns? Or do you wait and see what you have, wait till the trade deadline, and then if you choose that you still want to try and blow something up, in whether it's trade Derek Culver or go as far as trading D'Angelo Russell or whatever Gerson Rosas might try and do. I think it's more likely they wait. And also remember, it takes two to tango, and most teams aren't super ready to trade yet somewhere, you know, between what, 6 and 9 games into the season, teams aren't convinced about what their team is yet. They want to wait. There's a reason why the deadline causes so much activity. I mean, deadlines make decisions happen, right? And then also, it's as long into the season as teams can go before they're convinced that either what they have is working or it's not working, or what they need to, what, you know, what spot they need to fill. So I would imagine that Gerson Rosas and the Timberwolves do something similar. I wouldn't expect anything soon. But Bagley's a name to keep an eye on. I just don't think he's a fit. I don't think the Wolves would pursue him very heavily. And I'd much rather pursue somebody like a John Collins or, you know, I guess just a different solution entirely that may not cost as much in trade capital or actual salary cap space as well. All right, Wolves Blazers is this evening at 9 o'clock. Of course, we'll have a post game show, probably not tonight because it is a 9 p.m. Game, 9 p.m. Central. So certainly early Friday, we'll have a recap show, studs and duds and all that good stuff on Wolves Blazers. And then upcoming for the Timberwolves, they have a 4-game homestand this weekend. They have a back-to-back set, literally back-to-back days against the same team, the San Antonio Spurs, Saturday and Sunday at Target Center, before consecutive home games against Memphis. So a 4-game homestand, 2 games against San Antonio, 2 games against Memphis. So they'll be home from Saturday through next Friday, and then have next weekend off before their Martin Luther King Jr. Day matinee at Atlanta. So a chance to make some hay here. I mean, these teams are all under 500, hovering around 500, Portland, San Antonio, Memphis. They're all right now, frankly, better than the Timberwolves, but they're beatable teams. I mean, Memphis likely without John Morant, San Antonio without Derek White, Portland a little banged up. And obviously this is the toughest game, I think, of those five. But if the Wolves can manage to go 2-3, I think that can be seen as a clear victory, given they've now lost 5 in a row without Towns. If they can go 3-2, it would be maybe not a miracle, but it would be a major surprise. And I don't think it's crazy because the Wolves are starting to figure out how to be competitive without Karl Anthony Towns. They're going to stumble into a couple wins here sooner or later if they play like they did against Denver the last couple of times out. So stay tuned for Friday's show. Of course, as always, we'll have 5 shows next week, Monday through Friday. We may have a weekend show between the Spurs games as well. So stay tuned for that. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or anywhere else that you get podcasts. And also a reminder that if you're listening on iTunes and willing to hand out a review, that would be awesome. Positive reviews definitely help us get in front of more folks and are always welcome. So I appreciate that in advance. And then also follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we will catch you next time.